take your Bibles and go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. We're looking at a few verses here in this gospel narrative. Luke 1, verses 39 through 45. Hear God's word to his people. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Let's ask God's blessing on the reading and hearing of his word this morning. Our gracious God in heaven, we pray that in these few moments as we look at your word, that our hearts would be challenged, that our eyes would be opened, that our lives would be transformed as we seek to hear the word of your Son, Jesus Christ the Messiah. Lord, this is the time of year when we know all that's going on. We've heard the stories before. It's easy for us to take them for granted. Yet, Lord, help us to recognize. Give us a moment's pause in this time to hear carefully what it is that you have accomplished on our behalf. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Our passage this morning immediately follows the announcement of the angel Gabriel to Mary. He's told her that she is pregnant with this promised Messiah, the one who is spoken about for generations in the Old Testament. And I want you to just pause for a moment and picture this scene, the scenario, what she's been told in your mind. This is a 13 or 14-year-old young lady. Just wrap your mind around that for a moment. She's a young woman of faith, but she has just been told some truly unbelievable news. Nothing miraculous has occurred in Israel among the people of God for over 400 years. There's been no prophet speaking God's word, no miracles. God's presence has even left the temple. And all of a sudden, here is this angel saying to a 13 or 14-year-old girl, "You're pregnant with the Messiah." Mary asks, "How can this be since I'm not married and have never been with a man?" The angel Gabriel answers. And then he provides her with this sign that another miracle has occurred as well. Her cousin Elizabeth, who was barren and past the time that women could have children, is now pregnant as well. So first in our text, we see that Mary journeys. Mary journeys. In verse 39, it begins, "In those days," in the days immediately surrounding the events of this announcement to Mary, she hurries to a town in Judah where her cousin Elizabeth lives. This journey that she takes now is about 70 to 80 miles. It would take her 3 to 4 days, again, as a 13 or 14-year-old young lady. Now, we have no idea. The scriptures don't tell us if she made this journey alone. I seem to think that she wouldn't have been alone. But she arrives at the house of her relative Elizabeth, and she greets her. Now, why does Mary go in haste? Why is she in a hurry? Well, the angel's words to her must have been buzzing in her ears for days and days. She's responding to what God has revealed to her. Back in verse 36, Gabriel has said, "And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the 6th month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." So here is God's gracious sign to encourage Mary's faith that she would truly indeed bring the Messiah into this world. Now, think about it. God did not have to reveal this fact to her. But in his kindness and his faithfulness, he gives this very clear evidence of his miraculous work in her life and really throughout all of the world. She wants to see her cousin. She wants to see this sign of God's work in their lives. We're told next that John leaps in verses 41 and 44. Mary and Elizabeth then come together. They exchange a customary greeting for that time. This would have been different than how we greet one another. We might give a handshake, a hug, and say hello. This was an extended greeting, a longer and deeper conversation as both women begin sharing the strange events, exciting events that have been happening in their lives. And while they're exchanging that greeting, the baby inside of Elizabeth leaps. Elizabeth recognizes this not as just some normal movement of a child in the womb, but as the Spirit's work. Verse 44 says, "Behold, when the sound of your greetings came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." She even says why he leaped. John leapt because he was overcome with joy. He leapt with delight. This tiny human being who weighed no more than a pound and a half, who is only 6 months old, is responding to the Messiah in recognition of who he is. Think about that miracle. Surely this is the work of God's miraculous grace in the lives of these four people. God is confirming something very important and precious. Next, we see Elizabeth who prophesies. Elizabeth prophesies. Picture again the scene now in Elizabeth's home. If you know the story well, her husband, Zechariah, the priest, has been struck dumb, silent, because of his unbelief. So he may be standing there watching all the things going on in amazement himself. Elizabeth is advanced in years, perhaps somewhere between 60, 70, 80 years old. We're not sure. But she's shamed for her lack of a child. And now she's 6 months pregnant. So again, picture Mary's surprise and delight at the sight of her cousin as she's coming down the path to the home. Even in that moment, God is confirming his word to her. Elizabeth now functions in this passage as an Old Testament prophetess, foretelling the coming of the promised Messiah as the blessing of God. God's revealing his mind and his will through his Spirit. Spirit, in Luke's gospel, he does several things. He reveals, he speaks, he guides. We see this all throughout the birth narratives. Few verses later, we'll see Zechariah, her husband, receive his speech again and prophesy. John here is prophesying with his movement there in the womb. Later, Anna and Simeon will prophesy under the power of the Spirit. It's likely that Mary has told now Elizabeth all that Gabriel has spoken to her. And Elizabeth, under the guidance of the Spirit, confirms that word. She tells her that she is blessed among women because she's the mother of the Lord. Again, understand the faith that is being expressed here. How big must this baby have been in Mary's womb at this point? A few days, at most a few weeks old. And she's calling this baby her Lord. What faith? How could she know this other than that the Spirit is revealing it to her? What an astounding thing to believe. Elizabeth pronounces a blessing on this child and on Mary for her faith. And her response demonstrates both great joy and humility, the appropriate humility. She's in awe of her opportunity to be the first one who recognizes who this really is, to confirm this word to Mary. This privilege of receiving God's word causes her to respond in humility. And she asks, "How am I worthy to be a part of these events? Why would God choose me? Why would God reveal his will to me?" When God speaks to us through his word, we're to receive it with humility and with joy. God is active. He's speaking. Do we only take that for granted? Do we hear that statement and say, "Of course, yes, I have the Bible, that's great. I have six or more of them at home." Or do we receive God's word with humility, with joy? God loves us and wants us to know and experience his blessings, especially salvation through his Son. He's revealing that so clearly, affirming that here for us again. Elizabeth's final word of blessing in verse 45 is significant. She says, "Blessed is she who believed. Now, this statement is not the same direct address as in verse number 42, where the pronoun is more specific, where she says, "Blessed are you," meaning only Mary. Here it's more general. We could say, "Blessed is the one who believes." It applies to more than Mary. Mary is certainly an example of tremendous faith, but this blessing, this offer of satisfaction and joy and peace and happiness is offered to all who believe what God has declared through his Son. As we conclude, I want to think through just a couple of things. One, I want us to recognize how God is caring for Mary and for us in this text. Consider all that she's wrestling with in her heart and her mind. Again, we pass over this in our carols and things. Let's pause for a minute and think through maybe some of the questions that are going through her mind. The fears, the concerns, the apprehensions. Who would have ever believed her story? A 13 or 14-year-old girl is pregnant by the Holy Spirit. How will she tell Joseph? How will she explain this to her parents? This does not make sense, and they are not going to believe her. And she wonders, why me? Yet God, in his kindness, gives her clear demonstration that he's at work in her life. He gives her this sign, her cousin. Miraculous conceptions did not happen, yet she's pregnant miraculously, just as her cousin Elizabeth was. Just imagine the joy and relief again that have flooded into Mary's heart when she sees her cousin pregnant, 6 months pregnant, coming out the door. Consider God's kindness as well to provide a godly relative and friend to walk through these strange days with her. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months until just before John is born. They had time to confess their fears to one another, to pray together, to rejoice and encourage each other. What a precious gift fellowship is with other godly believers. Think of how this must have encouraged their hearts again and again and again. God was taking care of Mary and Elizabeth. He was accomplishing his plan perfectly, kindly, graciously. Through them, he's taking care of all who will hear their son's message of repentance. Through these women and the revelation of this account, God is caring for us as well this morning. He's demonstrating his grace. He's strengthening our faith. He's pointing our hearts to his Son again. So respond this morning by embracing Christ with joy and faith. Where does Elizabeth find joy in this text? In a sense, we're supposed to recognize that the news that Mary has eclipses her good news. That even though she has much to be excited about, there's more to be excited about in Mary and, more importantly, in the Messiah. And she willingly gives the attention over to where it belongs. Where does she find joy? She finds joy in the revelation of her Messiah, in a God who fulfills his promises, who keeps his word to his people. She's not obsessed with her own challenges, with her own circumstances. This is going to be a new venture for her as an older woman who's pregnant with a brand new baby to take care of. She's focused on someone outside of herself, on finding her joy in her God. For you, where are you looking for joy this morning, this Christmas season? Only an all-sufficient God can provide joy like this. Why is Mary blessed in this passage? Mary's honored as the one whom God has chosen to bring the Messiah into this world. She's not blessed because she has some greater ability to walk with God. She's not a super saint. She's not someone that we are to pray to. Her blessing's not a result of her great personal worth or spiritual strength. She's blessed because of the person that God has chosen for her to carry. She's blessed because she's placed her confidence in her God and is willing to obey. She's confident that her God will meet her greatest need, and that affects the way that she responds to these challenges and fears. The lesson here for us this morning is found in the final phrase of verse 45. Blessing comes to the one who has believed God, who has seen his grace and responded in faith. Blessed is the one who believes that God will fulfill what he has promised. What are you looking to for happiness this morning? Nothing but Christ can satisfy, can fulfill, can provide happiness. If you're an unbeliever today, perhaps maybe you consider Jesus to be a great moral teacher. That's a common belief today. But you don't call him your Lord and your Savior. We're told, though, that he has come to save his people from their sins. So please know that God's word this morning is telling you that he has come to save you from your sins and the penalty for your sins. This is his kindness and care for you. This morning, hear that word. Hear that word. If you're a believer, what are you currently placing your hope and confidence in? These women are faithfully obeying and following the Lord's leading through some very confusing, unusual, and difficult circumstances. There's great joy here, but there's also a hard road ahead. They follow him even when it's hard, even when it's unclear. So let this encourage you to place your hope in God, in his Son, the Messiah. Recognize and respond to his grace in your life. Know that he will bless you as you walk with him, even when you're unsure of how this makes sense, of how this is his will, of how he'll work out his word. Christ is worthy of your trust. He's faithful. Follow him. Let's close with prayer. Father, I pray that you would bless the remainder of our service as we continue to exalt your Son, Jesus Christ. May we find our hope, our confidence, our comfort in him. There are so many things that grab for our attention. There are many things that take up our time in this time of year. Lord, may we truly understand what it is to be blessed. That is to know Jesus Christ as our Lord. Give us grace to respond in faith this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.